9. A built-in GPS for sleaze. I kept my promise to Mama, Papa, and myself. All over Kinshasa, I asked about Josiane, while hoping that the purifiers would not catch wind of my own whereabouts. I disguised myself in a half-hearted way with sunglasses. I even checked the police stations, actually among the more dangerous places, given the ease with which the purifiers in the past had bribed the cops in Kinshasa. At the internet cafe, a startled Monsieur Zumbu embraced me and said how sorry he was about Josiane.
I cry with sadness. The customers, they can't stop talking about her. 5 girls I've tried. None is good. I can imagine how hard this must be on your parents. First you go missing, and then Josiane does.
I nodded, and Monsieur Zumbu put a comforting arm on my shoulder.
How would you like your old job back?
He asked.
But what if purifiers see me here?
Not to worry. I haven't seen any purifiers in months.
But this is the first place they'd look for me.
I bet they think you're too smart to return here,
Monsieur Zumbu said.
Maybe I am.
He laughed.
I can't tell you how much the customers miss you. You want a raise? Just name the amount. No Limba, no Josiane. I could go out of business.
I would be gambling my life if I returned, but I needed the money. And flaws aside, Monsieur Zumbu had treated me like a son. So I went back. Even then, I knew my Achilles heel, being too nice at times to those close to me. But so be it. I reimmersed myself in the internet and the related technology, educating myself further through YouTube and other means, flying toy drones, DJing, glad-handing customers. On my off days, joined at times by a few of her most ardent fans, I resumed my search for Josiane. Our love and closeness made the disappearance all the scarier. I just could not imagine her running away and leaving my parents and me in the dark. Something foul must have happened. Of course, in this memoir, I've already given away part of the story. Now, imagine what I was imagining when I learned she was gone. Was she at the bottom of the Congo River? Maybe working the streets of Kinshasa as a young prostitute with an attentive pimp nearby to keep her in line? I already knew enough about street life to understand how rapidly such a trade could age young women. I envisioned her with a prematurely lined face and the sparkle stolen from her eyes. How I worried. I'd done all I could with my wanderings from police station to police station, hospital to hospital, even brothel to brothel. But I had an idea. Maybe Doka, the fixer, could help. He had a built-in GPS for sleaze. If something shady was afoot, Doka could find his way to it and turn a profit. To my surprise, another slimeball was living in Doka's shack. I asked where Doka was now.
He's got himself a nice place in Prosperity City.
That was the name of a gated Kinshasa real estate development for the rich and would-be rich along the Congo River.
How did that happen?
Doka's on the computer now,
the new slimeball said. After a little more questioning, I ascertained that Doka overnight had transmogrified himself from a garden variety street hustler to a YouTube star with a hefty hit count. I called up his show when I got back to the internet cafe. The title was misleadingly bland, Kin Nightlife Plus Plus. On the actual program, Doka showed hookers strutting around, and he offered tips for interested tourists on how not to be mugged or, get this, pickpocketed. He knew all the geographical subtleties of life in the local red light areas. Stay on this street if you're alone. That street is fine if friends are with you. And no, don't venture on this other street, even if accompanied by armed bodyguards. Go to such and such street instead. Just want to look? Well, here's where all the women always wear skimpy swimsuits. Interested in underage hookers with a little more covering? On such and such streets, you can patronize teenaged girls wearing 1960-ish miniskirts. Via the web, I found Doka's phone number and asked if I could drop by to discuss employment opportunities. I told him how I'd reinvented myself, too. Of course, I hadn't the least interest in working for Doka permanently, given my abhorrence of him and his trade. On YouTube, many of the prostitutes he showed looked young enough to be Ujana girls. Kinshasa, street slang, for underaged urban sex workers. Past governments in Kin may have put such a brazen pimp out of business or come close to it. but not one distracted by a civil war in the vicinity. I worried that Josiane was now an Ujana. Please, no. Doka lived on the second floor of a just-built walk-up with palm trees in front. He greeted me at the door as if he actually wanted to see me. Doka no longer looked quite so pimpy. He'd refined his bizarreness. Instead, he was dressed like a sapur, a dandy, complete with a bright orange tie, a striped blue shirt, and a purple suit. No rules crimped sapur fashion. He could just as well have been wearing kilts. Squinting at me with his gimlet eyes, he asked about my database skills, which he could use in marketing and in matching clients with prostitutes of either sex. He was expanding and needed help. The existing database guy had died in a boating accident. Doka also was still plying his trade as a fixer at large. He was even serving as a bagman for the Congolese Purification Army.
"Do you want to bribe someone? I'm the best. Cash, drugs, women, or men. I know what works."
I was amazed to see how open he was. Perhaps Doka was sufficiently full of himself to believe that I would go to work for him for certain. I would have received several times what Monsieur Zumbu was paying. I heard the whole pitch, taking care not to raise an eyebrow on mention of the purifiers.
"So what do you think, Lemba?" Doka asked. "Are you ready to grow?"
He might as well have been a corporate recruiter. I was touched by his trust. Remember, I was only 15, well, about to turn 16 after my time with the purifiers, and it wasn't as if he'd tested my database skills. But I really had them, or at least could fake the missing parts until I did. Maybe I could work for him long enough part-time to see if Josiane's name popped up in one of the databases.
"I need an answer," Doka said. "And I need to think this over," I stalled. "This can't wait," he said. "You can't make up your mind. You're the wrong person for the job."
I still "Get out!" Doka angrily pointed to the door.
"Go back to pickpocketing!"